So go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And I realize I'm about to age some of us when I ask this question, but how many of you used to love reading the Far Side comics? Anybody? All right. So, yeah, I noticed a lot of us with white hair know what I'm talking about. The others are going, what in the world is this guy talking about? Well, in one of Gary Larson's Far Side cartoons, he shows a guy looking really slick, a guy looking really cool. He's got his shirt sleeves rolled up. He's got this perfect hairdo, so you know it's not me. And he's also got his tie kind of pulled a little loose from his shirt, like he's ready to do some work. And in this picture, this guy is holding a vacuum cleaner up with one hand, and he's holding his hand up in the air with his, you know, with his other hand. He's holding it up in the air, and he's pointing it towards this vacuum cleaner. And if you look behind him, there's a line of people waiting to see him. And each one of them, they have some sort of electronic device. You know, one of them's holding a TV. One of them's holding a toaster. You know, they're holding these appliances. And then it pans back and it shows him with his hand just hard on this vacuum cleaner and his other hand in the air. And he says to the vacuum cleaner, "I command you foul demons that have clogged up this machine to come out." And then I read this quote from Dr. Chuck Swindoll, because he saw this cartoon as well, and he kind of chuckled when he saw this cartoon, right, of this man trying to cast out demons from a vacuum cleaner. And this is what Dr. Chuck Swindoll said about that comic strip. He said, "At first, I laughed. It struck me as very funny. However, I realized that today, people are making light of demons. But demons are not to be taken lightly." So people ask me all the time, "Brother Jeff, are demons real?" My first and quick answer is, yes, they are real. I usually ask them, if they aren't real, then why are they mentioned time and time again in the Bible? They're mentioned in the Old Testament, and they're mentioned in the New Testament. People ask me all the time, "Brother Jeff, do demons really have power today?" And I usually ask them, how many times do we see the demons in the Bible tormenting people, even possessing people? So what we need to understand is we need to understand that demons are real and demons are powerful. Yes, they are real and yes, they are powerful, but God. But God, because God is most powerful. He is almighty. As a matter of fact, God is the only one who is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He's the only one. I hope you understand that. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, and he came as Jesus, the Messiah. And so as we read this passage of Scripture today, because we're going to talk about Jesus, and they use a term, Beelzebul. We're going to talk about that. They're talking about Satan. But we're going to talk about some very important truths today. And before we get to this passage of Scripture, I want to make sure you understand two very important truths that the Bible teaches us. Number one, Jesus came to give. That's who Jesus is. He's a giver. Jesus came to give. Jesus came to save. He tells us that with his own words, right? He said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve." And he says, "I came to give my life as a ransom for many." So Jesus came to give. Jesus came to save. Satan, on the other hand, Satan came to steal. And ultimately, Satan came to kill. Isn't that what Jesus told us? In John chapter 10, he says, "Your enemy, the devil, came to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy." And so those are two foundational truths that we need to know and we need to believe before we can really have any kind of understanding of this passage that we're going to cover today. These truths absolutely are magnified in Luke chapter 11 today. So we're going to read this passage, Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 28, but I broke it up into two parts. So the first part that we're going to read are verses 14 through 20. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, "By Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons." Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebul. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Now again, this is a very powerful passage of scripture, and I believe one thing that we don't like talking about in our world today is spiritual warfare. But just because we don't like to talk about it, don't mean it ain't real and it ain't happening. Okay? You might be uncomfortable with it, but that's exactly what Satan wants you to be. He wants you to be uncomfortable with it. He doesn't want you to know what God's word says about it, because he knows if you know what God's word says about it, then you'll stand up and fight. He don't want you fighting. He don't want you fighting for you. He don't want you fighting for your family. He don't want you fighting for your church. He don't want you fighting for your schools like we just did, praying over them. He don't want you fighting against him. He wants you just going about your everyday business and not worrying about that spiritual warfare, because I'm going to tell you, his goal is to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. So he don't want you thinking about spiritual warfare. He don't want you thinking about demonic activity, because it's a reality. It is. It's a reality. And we see it right here in the scriptures that it's a reality. Now, one thing we see right off the bat is that not everybody celebrates the victory of Jesus in this man's life. What does it say? It says Jesus, right? He was doing his thing. He was moving along, and as we know, he was moving closer and closer to Jerusalem. That's where he was going. But we see that he comes across a man who was possessed by a demon. And this demon was mute, and therefore it muted this man. He could not talk. And as far as we know of from Scripture, this man had never talked. And so Jesus cast the demon out, and all of a sudden the man starts speaking, right? The man starts speaking. Now, the Bible says that the people were amazed. But we've been seeing that all along, haven't we? And I'm going to tell you something. Just because you're amazed by Jesus, just because you're wowed by Jesus, don't mean you're saved by Jesus. Because there were a lot of crowds that were looking at Jesus with their eyes, but they weren't opening their hearts to him. And so don't be confused by that. When it goes, "Oh, the crowds were amazed," that's good. Not necessarily. Because what we see is that they questioned Jesus' power. They questioned the power that he possessed and that he wielded. They were skeptical of what he had done for this man. And some of us have experienced the power of Jesus in our own lives, haven't we? I think we have. I think some of us have experienced the power of Jesus in our lives. We've experienced the heart change that takes place when we repent of our sin and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But here's what we need to remember. Not everybody is going to celebrate or believe in the victory of Jesus in your life. Some people are going to be skeptical of the change that happens in your heart, of the change that happens in your life. Some people are going to say, "Well, we'll see how long that lasts." You ever been there? So we need to understand that the crowds are going to respond differently to Jesus. And they're going to respond differently to the way Jesus works in our lives. There will always be those around us who question God. There will always be those around us who are skeptics of God. Listen, I got them in my family. I've got them in my circle of friends. And so the word that is brought up by these skeptics, by these people who are questioning the power of Jesus, is the word Beelzebul. Now let me go ahead and tell you, just in case you don't know, but I think you probably do because you probably studied this before, but Beelzebul is another term for Satan. That's another name for Satan. It's also based on the Hebrew word that means Lord of the flies, okay? So this is an old word. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's the word Beelzebul and sometimes it's the word Beelzebub, okay? It just depends on the time that it was used and the area where it was used. But let me just go ahead and tell you. It's a word used for darkness and death, okay? It's a word used for darkness and death. Lord of the flies. How many of you just love flies flying around on your food on the table? Everybody love that? No, we don't love that. The flies land on stuff and we go, ugh, that's exactly right. Nasty, okay? So Jesus, he knows their thoughts. That's what it says. He knows what they were thinking. He knows that they are putting him in league with the devil and even working with and working by the devil's power. But let's back up and let's look at what Jesus did. Jesus cast out demons. He cast them out. And he uses his power over the devil. And so when someone says it's by Beelzebul that he's casting out demons, he's like, do you even hear what you're saying? You're saying that I work for the demons and with the demons to hurt other demons. I mean, can you imagine, like, that's what they're saying. And so Jesus tells them that Satan would not use his own power to destroy himself or to tear apart his own kingdom. I mean, let's go all the way back from the very beginning in Genesis, right? From the very beginning, the devil has set out to destroy God and to destroy God's kingdom and to steal and kill and destroy life that God gives. That's been his goal. That is his goal. I'm going to tell you something. His goal will never change. When he fell from heaven, he fell from heaven because he wanted not just to be like God, but he wanted to be over God. He wanted to set his throne above God's. So he's got an agenda. He's got an agenda. He's got his own kingdom, so to speak. But let me remind you, right? Let me remind you about Satan. The Bible tells us that he's an imitator. He disguises himself. Matter of fact, the Bible says he disguises himself as an angel of light. He has no light. He is darkness. That's all he is. He is evil. And so he's an imitator. He's a deceiver. The Bible says, and Jesus says it best, he's a liar. As a matter of fact, he's the father of lies. And he came to steal, to kill, and destroy. He hates God, and therefore he hates God's image bearers, which guess who that is? Everybody. God's image bearers are anybody and everybody who has lived, is living, and will live. Now notice I didn't say God's children, okay? Because everybody is an image bearer of God. God's children are those who have repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if that's confusing, go read the Gospel of John. Go read 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Not everybody is a child of God. You know what? Some people are child of the devil, are children of the devil, because they reject God, and by rejecting God, they embrace the devil. They embrace darkness. They embrace their sin. And so we need to understand that. Jesus came to give life. He came to give life fully right here and right now, and he came to give life eternally. Notice that when he cast the demon out of this man, he wasn't taking this man's life. He was giving him life. And so how could they say that Jesus is Beelzebul, or he's working by the power of Beelzebul to cast out demons? Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God in flesh. He is Messiah. That is who he is, and Jesus is making that clear. So he goes on. And he tells them a story because, you know, sometimes people just don't get it. And so Jesus keeps trying to help them and he gives them some stories. And so watch what he does here in verse 21. He says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides his plunder. Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept and clean, right? Swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And he replied, verse 28, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." What an awesome passage of scripture. See, what we find out real quick here, again, earlier I told you, people ask me all the time, are demons real? Yes, they're real. Are demons powerful? Yes, they are powerful. What we need to understand is that Satan is strong. Satan has power, but my Jesus is the strongest. My Jesus is the strongest because Jesus is the victory. See, what I'm telling you is Satan may win some battles here on earth, but he ain't gonna win the war because Jesus already won it. Jesus lived the perfect life that only he could live. Jesus died the sacrificial death on the cross that only he could die. And Jesus rose from the grave by the power of God, and only he could do it. Amen. Satan has no power over Jesus. And Jesus is making that very clear in this story that he's telling him. Oh, there's a strong man who tries to take care of his house, but there's a stronger man who can come in and take that house if he wants it. See, Satan may be strong, but Jesus is the strongest. It reminds me, we talked about this on Sunday nights, it reminds me of the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus chapter 7, when Pharaoh's evil magicians are standing there and Moses and Aaron are standing there, God had told Moses and Aaron to throw their staff down and it would become a snake. Well, the magicians, they do their little tricks, they do their little magic, and they throw their little sticks down, or what probably weren't sticks but made to be look like sticks. They threw their little sticks down and they were snakes too. And they were like, oh, yeah, we can do whatever you do. But what we know is that Moses' staff swallows the other two snakes up, and it's over. It's over. You can't imitate God. You can't do what God does. See, Satan's power, and I believe Jesus shows us this in this passage, Satan's power is limited, but God's power is limitless. Satan's power is limited. But God's power is limitless. That is why we need to remember. And I believe Brother Andy sang that in the songs. He even prayed it in his prayer. That's why we need to remember who we are in Christ. We need to remember whose we are in Christ. And we need to remember why we are. Again, I go back to it all the time, and you ought to have this verse memorized by now as much as I say it. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are God's children. You are his holy nation. You are a royal priesthood. You are God's special possession. And your purpose, your why, is to declare the praises of the God who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And when you know who you are, and you know whose you are, you know who indwells you, who empowers you, then you can sing the praises of him. And you ought to be singing the praises of him. That's your spiritual warfare. That's how you fight the devil. That's how you fight the enemy. You need to remind him when he comes against you and is tormenting you. You need to remind him, do you know who I am? I'm a child of God. Jesus Christ lived for me, died for me, rose from the grave for me, devil. Let me tell you who I am so you know who you're messing with. If you don't know that, that's why you're failing, or that's why you are struggling in spiritual warfare. Because you're not focused on the word of God in your life. You're focused on everything else. And look, I'm guilty of that. So many times the enemy comes against me and I try to pick up my experience, or I try to pick up my successes, or I try to pick up my money, or I try to pick up this thing and that thing. I try to pick up these worldly things, and I try to come against the devil. He ain't scared of your worldly stuff. Matter of fact, he wants you to keep grabbing that stuff. He wants you to set that stuff up as idols in your life so that you won't worship the one and only true God. He wants you worshiping your job, your money, your kids, your spouse. He wants you worshiping those things. Because when you're worshiping those things, you ain't worshiping the God who created you and gave you those things. That's spiritual warfare. We need to know who we are, whose we are, and why we are. And Jesus shows us something very incredible here. You see, when we experience a move of Jesus in our lives, we should respond accordingly. We should respond with repentance of our sin and faith in Jesus. I believe there are so many times when God is working and God is pursuing and God is calling out. And I believe that there are people who hear his voice and they see what he's doing and they're wowed by it or they're amazed by it. And they go, ooh, good, I'm out of this thing now. And then they just keep on going back to what they're always doing. See, some people respond with amazement and wonderment, but they don't respond with repentance and faith. And Jesus tells us in this passage of Scripture what happens. He makes it very clear that when he casts out a demon, there must be a filling of the Holy Spirit in that life. Because there's not a filling of the Holy Spirit in that life. If there is no Holy Spirit baptism and there is no Holy Spirit indwelling, then those demons are able to come back. And they're able to bring their demonic friends and do even worse the next time than they did the first time. That's exactly what this passage means, by the way. That's what he's showing us. Dr. Tony Evans, I love what he says. He says it's not enough to simply be rid of demonic activity in one's life. That emptiness must be replaced by the Holy Spirit of God. Again, I want to remind you there were some in that crowd that day who were amazed at what Jesus had done. They weren't necessarily blurting out, you know, things like these other people were. They weren't saying, oh, he's a demon or, oh, he works with Beelzebul. But it just says they were amazed. But I'm going to just tell you something. Being amazed ain't enough. Let me tell you something. Jesus ain't looking for your flattering words. He don't need your flattery. He don't need my flattery. That's not what he's looking for. And we see it very clearly at the end of this passage when the woman said, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. It sounds really good, doesn't it? I mean, and listen, I'm not saying that's not a true statement. Blessed, absolutely Mary was blessed. But I'm going to just tell you something. Jesus made it very clear that there's something better than flattery. There's something better than admiration. I'm going to tell you, Jesus did not want their admiration. He didn't want their amazement and their wow and their flattery. Jesus wanted their obedience. Don't take my word for it. Look at it. Look at verse 28. It says, blessed are those who what? Who hear the word of God and obey it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. I'm going to say it one more time. Hear and obey. Because we got a lot of people reading their Bible, but they ain't doing nothing with it. We got a lot of people digging into Bible studies. Bible study this, Bible study that, Bible recap. Yay. But they ain't doing nothing that it says. That don't get you brownie points with God because you checked off your Bible read daily mark on your envelope. I dated a bunch of us right there, didn't I? Y'all remember them pink envelopes? Right? Here's how much I'm giving. Oh, I went to Sunday school. Oh, I went to church. Just check, check, check. I'm good. Jesus is not looking for our admiration. Jesus wants our hearts. And he wants our hearts full of obedience. Do you know what Jesus says in the Gospel of John? He said, the ones who truly love me are the ones who obey my commands. The ones who keep my commands. I ask the question all the time, do you love God? People say, yeah, I love God. Do you obey his commands? Because Jesus said, that's the proof. Boy, that stings, don't it? But Brother Jeff, I've got 12 shirts that say, Jesus loved me, Jesus died for me, I'm a Christ follower. I don't care. I don't care how many shirts you got. You can buy all of the equipped Christian clothing they got. You can buy it all. You can flaunt it and wear it everywhere. But if you don't have a heart surrendered to God and you haven't repented of your faith, of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, them clothes is going to burn with you. Because Jesus is the only way to be rescued from the wrath of God that is poured out on sin. There is no other way. Jesus is the only one who has the power to save. That's it. So, I want to ask you a question. And this is an important question. It's a question that I can't answer for you. I can only answer for me. Have you been baptized and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God? Have you been baptized and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God? Notice I said by the Holy Spirit of God. I didn't say by the Start water system. Now, don't get me wrong. Water baptism is absolutely important, or else why did Jesus do it? So I'm not trying to make light of water baptism. That is absolutely important. But I'm going to tell you, the baptism that makes the difference in eternity is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because when you are baptized by the Holy Spirit of God, you are signed, sealed, and delivered. Amen. The baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. And listen, again, we're taught that in Scripture, that when we repent of our sin, when we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. And the Holy Spirit of God baptizes us. That means He seals us. Our eternity is secure in the hand of God, who is more powerful than the devil or any demon combined. Amen. What Jesus Christ has done cannot be undone. Not even by me. By nobody. And so the reason I'm asking you this question is because this is the difference maker in your life. Have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit of God? Have you been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God? Brother Jeff, how does that happen? That's when you realize that God is God and you're not. That's when you realize that God is holy and just, and His word defines what sin is. Not you. His word defines what sin is, and you agree with it and you say, I'm guilty. I deserve your wrath, God. I deserve death all day long. I deserve death for eternity. But thank you for Jesus Christ, who is your Son, who lived perfectly, who died sacrificially, who rose from the grave, because I trust Him. I put my faith in Him. I open up my heart and I give it to Him. And He comes in and He changes me. I'm telling you, when you truly do that, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. You're baptized and the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, and you begin to live differently. And because you begin to live differently, you begin to look differently. And man, different fruit starts growing off your tree. Right? What used to be dead, nasty, ugly stuff is kindness, compassion, generosity, grace, mercy, and love. This is what happens. This is what happens when we truly repent of our sin. This is what happens when we truly put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, God in flesh. It doesn't happen just because we got wet in a baptistry. It doesn't happen because you put your name on a piece of paper and said you're a member of Start Baptist Church. It doesn't happen because you put so much in the offering plate. It doesn't happen because your mom or dad went to church all their lives and they were really good people. It happens when you make a personal decision to turn from your sin and to God, who loves you and created you in His image, and you say, Lord, create in me a pure heart. Take this heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. And I'm going to tell you, that's biblical. Okay, go read the book of Ezekiel. That's what I needed. And praise be to God, He did that to me. And He did that for me, or else I wouldn't be here today. Certainly wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today, preaching Jesus Christ. I know the enemy is strong. I know he's real. I know he's still at work today. But here's the thing, the only reason he's at work today is because God's allowing it. Because one day, God's going to tell His Son to come get His children. And if I ain't passed on, if I'm still here, I'm going with my Jesus. And one day, my Jesus is going to cast the enemy into the abyss. He's going to cast him into that place called hell. You can clap. You ought to clap. Praise God for that. He's going to cast the enemy, the devil, and all of the demons into that place called hell, where there will only be weeping and gnashing of teeth and eternal fire and damnation forever and ever and ever, and it'll never end. I'm going to tell you, the devil ain't going to be in heaven with some pitchfork telling people what to do. The devil's going to be in hell suffering because he rejected God from the beginning. And we're going to see who the power is. the power is going to be my God, my Savior. Amen? That's a good word. So I pray today that you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit through repentance of sin and faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I pray today that you experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jeff, but what does that mean to experience? That means you don't look at people the way you used to look at people. You don't talk to people the way you used to talk to people. That means you start to see people the way God sees them. You talk to them the way God wants you to talk to them. You start shining the light and the love on them instead of the darkness. Now, Brother Jeff, does that mean I'm perfect and I do that right every time? No, you don't know me well enough if you think that. Just ask my wife, because she has seen me fail before. I'm glad she don't broadcast that on social media. It doesn't mean I'm going to live perfectly, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try. I'm going to strive to live like my Jesus. And I know that when I do fail or I do fall, he's going to be there to pick me up. And he's going to be there to cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness. Right? And he's going to give me another chance. Praise God for them another chances. Amen? The devil is real. The devil is strong. But Jesus is the victory. Is he your victory? Is he your victory? Because really that's all that matters. See, I'm not here to debate with you because I know the truth. Jesus is the victory. I'm not trying to debate with you. The real question is he your victory? Does he have victory over you and your life? Has he set you free from the penalty and the bondage of sin forever and ever and ever? I pray he has.